Faith Middleton, and this show is about the richness of life. Thanks for listening in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. Give a sad child a chance to draw, and often the real feelings come out. In some of our hospice programs and at Yale New Haven Hospital, the arts are used to help clients and families understand the depth of their experiences. And this raises a question that we want to explore. Does creativity heal? We wonder if creative expression can heal the body as well as the mind. After some conversation, we'd like to hear from you about how a creative outlet has been useful. Perhaps art can express what you feel or surprise and inform you about your feelings. My guest is going to help us get into this. Connecticut-based artist Joy Wilkie is recognized nationally for photographing across decades an old Montana shack. She documented how time and nature did its work on this abandoned structure. Her book about it, The Great Alone, is in Yale's Beinecke Library Collection. I have her permission to say this. Joy herself now stands on a similar precipice. At what point will nature claim her? It's the big question we all face, although Joy Wilkie is more acutely aware of it as an artist, as a human being. She is undergoing rigorous chemo treatments right now. So if you've heard me interview Joy Wilkie across decades about her riveting large-scale environmental installations, you might understand that Joy always makes me see in a new way. She has done that now, deciding in the face of a serious illness to begin creating a new environmental spectacular set to debut in the dramatic Stony Creek Granite Quarry in the spring. We'll tell you about the piece involving many artist collaborators using laser lights, sound, fire, sculpture, and more amidst the jagged, towering walls of pink granite. It is something to see. Joy, welcome back.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here, Faith. Thank you.
Great to have you. So what is this, when you do an installation like the one you're planning, what is this meant to get us to do when we're sitting there in front of those giant, jagged walls?
To take a moment to really learn how to see the environment that's around you. And the Stony Creek Quarry is unique in a way because it's half man-made, it's half nature, and the sculptor Daryl Pettit, who works there, considers taking the granite from the quarry, repurposing. It repurposes for his sculptures that are appreciated around the world, and it's well known for its architectural beauty and has been used for the base of the Statue of Liberty and many other things.
There's water there. There's these pink granite walls. It's an astounding landscape when you see it. It's so big. The granite, it strikes me, and especially looking at photographs that you've taken of your installations, it reminds me of time, and there's a lot of it.
That's a very good way of looking at it. And we also, all of our programs have a scientific focus, and the one that we're planning for the spring of 2014 is about geology. Well, geology has a huge history from the beginning of known time for our planet, from the supercontinents, from the beginning of time. Then we went into Pangaea, and our continents are constantly drifting and floating actually towards a new supercontinent. And we're riders on that geological formation. And the Stony Creek granite is, Stony Creek Quarry is a wonderful backdrop for that kind of story, which is told through, as you had mentioned, laser light projections, video. And we work with geologists. We've worked with Dr. Jay Agnew, who's the director of geology program at Yale.
What does he say the age of the quarry is?
He says it's about,
is it 5?
2 million years, maybe?
I thought it was 5 million.
Okay,
something astounding.
But something astounding, and the beginning of Stony Creek granite, it was something like 2 miles below the surface. And
so how you bring in the collaborators. So we see light shows. We see often your sculpture pieces. There are sound things happening, things projected on these jagged walls. It is smoke. I mean, this is amazing what you might find. Why are you bringing the elements in?
To really capture excitement from the people who are there as the audience members. As you had mentioned, it's something like they've never seen before. And I always introduce the programs talk about the history of how we came to the particular performance piece. But I also say, you're not going to be tested at the end. Well, even though it may be about geology, the information is there to be absorbed or not. It's just a fabulously entertaining evening, and people leave with memories of an experience that they will never forget for the rest of their lives.
So let's explain why we've gotten together to do this show on what creative expression can do when you face a particular challenge. When you learned you had a serious cancer this summer, how long a span was there between grasping that information and deciding to work creatively?
Well, actually, in retrospect, I think I never stopped. It was, as you mentioned, it was quite a surprise. Just to tell you the story, I drove to Pittsburgh, where I and my collaborators received a national award for our project for the Stamford Train Station, which is an LED illumination program. And on the way back, I noticed I was having double vision. And I thought, well, I'm just tired. So I made it home. That Friday, I gave an artist presentation in Torrington at Five Points Gallery, where I produced a whole new series of work. One piece had 10 units to it, and I actually wanted to make 20. So I played with my double vision, and I said, yeah, it would look better with 20 units. And then actually the following day, I went into the emergency room at Yale New Haven as my eye became completely closed. As it turned out, it was a tumor behind my eye. And as they say, the rest is history, with the diagnosis of a very complicated and pretty devastating cancer. So my team and I talked about our quarry project and knew that we couldn't do it this fall because things were just too complicated. So they said, let's do it next June. And I felt, I don't know. And then I thought, why not? We have all the makings. We have the recipe, as one might say, the creative recipe, the wonderful collaborators, and let's go for it. And with a lot of support also from the granting agencies through the state of Connecticut.
Yeah. So I think a lot of us know the panic that can set in when an iffy test comes back or there's a discovery of something. So what I want to know from you is, how do you return to focus when you confront a shocking piece of information? So here, an artist, anything you're doing requires a certain focus. How do you get that back? Do you feel like you ever lost it?
I feel like I really never lost it. And I find my work much more interesting than what my physical condition happens to be right now, which is the physical condition is much more scripted. And I'm working with another fabulous team, nationally well-known people at Smilo Cancer Center. So I feel in very good hands there. And that gives me the freedom to move on with my various projects. And I'm actually having a very productive time.
Mm-hmm. So you have been playing with time, you know, through your career mm-hmm. up to now. You've been playing with time and light, which, as you point out, none of us, none even our greatest minds have figured out truly what light is. So you're in search of documenting, calling our attention to nature doing its work. And we see through your eyes nature giving and nature taking back. And when I think about the shack that you documented in Montana, that process of that shack being there, being useful, and then being taken back. Has being immersed in these subjects helped you to grasp what's happening to you medically?
I think so. And back when I was doing that 22-year series of photographs of the building in Montana, I really thought of it, again, as an animistic ancestor, but also that as the structure degenerated, the actual complexity of the light became more interesting. So I thought of that in a way as kind of a positive way of thinking of aging. As our bodies degenerate, your mind can become more illuminated. As I get older, I'm not sure that's always the case, but that was how I thought about it. And now in this condition, I feel I think I was right, if you look at it in a way, in certain positive ways.
Well, do you think then that, you know, your tendency right now is, you say you've never really stopped work, but your tendency is to go full speed forward with the work, and you know, why not? So, you know, we kind of tossed this around together when we were having an afternoon together about a week ago, and you told me that, you know, who knows about whether creative expression heals the body as well as the mind. Where are you on that?
I feel like I've been surprised over these last 2 months of learning how to live with cancer. And I've had several experiences that have been very surprising. One of them being I am a public artist, so I have traveled all over the country as a finalist to give presentations as well as install public art pieces. So I found I was a finalist for a project in Rockville, Maryland, which is a suburb of Washington, D.C., and I was going to let it go, but my daughter, Joya, who's become my handler, as I call her, said, "We're not letting that go, Mom. We're going to do it." So she assisted in making the model for the piece and edited my my PowerPoint presentation. We took a train down there. I was the last one to present at 9 o'clock at night, and recently my bedtime has been 8:30, and she said, "If you can't do it, just gesture towards me, and I will finish the presentation." Well, I was totally on and had a great time with the committee. We all had a wonderful time. They were very impressed by the presentation. And I left that night at 9:30 to go back to where we were staying with friends. And I said, how could I not be excited? It's my work. I love the project. And to have that kind of positive feedback from others was just reinforcing, and I just felt great. And it's funny, I don't know that I felt, it wasn't a personal sense of feeling great, but it was just kind of a sense of feeling maybe value beyond your own individual self in terms of what you can offer.
Yeah, here others. I see that picture of all of you in this room together having a deep conversation about the thing that matters so much to everybody in the room. You know, public art and what, I mean, here you went to school to major in this kind of environmental art. What does it mean to be an environmental artist?
I think everyone might have different definitions for that, but for me, it really has to do with the sensitivity of the environment around you, whether it's the built environment or the natural environment, and to be able to create a dialogue between what you might have to offer and what the space might have to offer, so that you create, it's almost like a gestalt, you create a story and something that's larger than the sum of the wholes. And that's obviously the power of a good piece of public art, is that it's appreciated by all, people learn from it. It becomes part of the environment, it becomes part of something that you want to take care of. And in a way, it's not dissimilar to the quarry projects that we've done, because that's really my main goal, is to show nature in a new and ultra-beautiful way, to really inspire stewardship for the natural environment from the people who would experience these pieces.
Joy Wilkie, stay right where you are in your chair. How does creative expression help you through challenging times? Can creativity heal the body as well as the mind? Our guest, nationally recognized Connecticut artist Joy Wilkie, received a surprise diagnosis of a very serious cancer and is at work, never skipped a beat, on an environmental installation for the spring. And you can go online to Indiegogo. 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 Search word quarry 2014 to offer your support. We'll be right back to talk more about creativity and its healing power. Stay with us. I'm Faith Middleton. It is great to have you listening on the show. Our guest is internationally recognized Connecticut artist Joy Wolke, and she is at work on a major environmental installation as part of a series of these extraordinary events that she has done at the Stony Creek, Connecticut Quarry. And she and a whole team of collaborators are planning that for the spring. And at the same time, what is additionally remarkable about that is that Joy is working on all this during her chemo treatments and a very serious cancer that she's facing. So we got together and said, let's talk about this. Let's talk about how creativity, or whether creativity, does something for you to heal the body as well as the mind. Does it make a difference whether it does or it doesn't? Does what it does for you have such a powerful effect that we don't have to kind of divide these sentences? I'm thinking about you at this panel in Washington, D.C. at 9 o'clock at night, chemo treatments, and you're there and you nail the presentation. And I think to myself, how can we even question the power of creativity when it is clearly that energizing to someone who's being battered in a certain way?
Well, I think part of it was the relationship of the dialogue between the panel and myself. It also has to do with experience. As I was presenting the work, I realized it was not only the individual work for that particular project, but it was a culmination of the way that I design and make public art. And that is so much ingrained in my own thinking and my own self that that creative effort is not separate from the way that I see life in general. So it just came out naturally. And I think that that kind of natural presentation is very reassuring for a panel, because I think they feel that they know that you're not only giving of your intelligence, but you're really giving of yourself and your passions.
Hmm. Let's see. We have a caller, so we'll open the phone lines at 203-776-9677. 203-776-WNPR. The point of this is to get you to talk with us about how you might have used creativity in the face of a challenging situation. Was it helpful? Was it useful? Did that creative expression even tell you something about how you felt? Peter Newman, welcome to the show. I think you know each other, Joy. Go ahead, Peter.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call, Joy. Love you.
Hey, Peter.
How are you? I wanted to comment. I'm not able to comment on the power that Joy's art might bring healing to her. But I do know Joy, and having been on the board of Project Y2K and a longtime friend and part-time, sometime collaborator with Joy, that Joy's work has done so much healing for others. And I think that is not as not insignificant. I have great faith that all the great work that Joy has spread throughout the country and the world will have an enormous effect on her ability to heal herself. Her work with her daughter, who is such an enthusiastic collaborator, I've worked with her a couple of times, and I just know that the joy and healing that Joy has spread will come back.
Oh, Peter, thank you so much. That's so nice to hear. And this just sort of goes back to what I was saying, is that it's the collaborative effort. It's not only the creative spirit that's coming out of you, but it's the sharing.
Peter, have you ever known that, who doesn't, that you've faced a challenge and the work has been a salvation, a creative expression?
Yeah, absolutely. It's no small feat or small act to create public art. It's a big obligation. There's an enormous responsibility associated with that. Concomitant with the exercise is an enormous responsibility to perform for the good of the whole or the public. And that in itself is a challenge that awakens all of one's senses and really enlivens and enriches both the process and the personal and one's personal life.
Thanks so much for being on the show, Peter.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you, Peter.
Bye. Thank you, George.
Love you.
203-776-WNPR is our number as we explore using creativity in the face of challenge, to focus yourself, to understand what it is you feel, to express your feelings. We see this being done in hospice programs. We see it at Yale New Haven Hospital and a lot of other medical facilities. We see it with young children, with therapists, that there is a belief that this is a route to discover the feelings, to get them out, to share them with other people when you can't find the words to do it. And so far we've heard from Peter Newman, who is a professional artist, and I bet that's going to happen some more in the show, Joy. I wonder if the same thing is true for people who are not professional artists. I call them everyday people, which is not very nice to artists, but you know, people have no training whatsoever and turn to something.
I think that given the opportunity, I call it sort of learning how to get outside of yourself and to be able to sort of hand somebody a tool or a piece of clay, which is or a pencil or a paintbrush. People can actually surprise themselves in terms of what they're able to create. And if they can be engaged in such a way that the product doesn't really matter, but it's the relationship of your own body gestures and the material that you're working with, it can be very freeing and very surprising because you have no idea. If you let yourself go and you don't try to make the figure and you just let yourself work with the materials, you can create things that are very surprising.
I remember going with a microphone to Yale New Haven Hospital, where a music therapist, Sid Slaughteroff, was working in the children's wing. And I stood there as one little boy. It had been very difficult to get him to open up, to talk, having a very rough time medically. And she came in with her guitar and said, as she does in the rooms, want to write a song together? And they just started. And before you knew it, the lyrics were reflecting something about the way he really felt. And even if they hadn't, he was connecting to somebody else. I was struck by the power of creative expression. And this is not a kid who plays an instrument or had anything to do with that.
I think it's partly learning how to express with your body. I'll never forget a friend of mine. Long time ago, let's say not in the 50s, went to Cranbrook Academy, and everyone, no matter whether they were studying architecture or art or mathematics, they started the day by doing expressive dancing. Back in the old days, it was called modern dance. But that was really a matter of being able to connect to your own body and the freedom of expression and movement before you went into your discipline. And I always have said that creativity is definitely not limited to what we traditionally know as artists. It's really a matter of the mind.
We're going to go to the phones. How does creative expression help you through challenging times? Can creativity heal the body as well as the mind? Our guest is nationally recognized Connecticut artist Joy Wolke. She received a surprise diagnosis of a very serious cancer. She's receiving chemo. And is also happily at work on a new environmental installation coming this spring at the Pink Stony Creek Granite Quarry. And it will be a collaboration of artists, scientists, geologists, environmentalists, And the goal of this whole collaboration of people is to generate a sense of wonder about nature and history through the arts. They kind of kindle the audience's imagination using this dynamic multimedia marvel in a way that combines light and lasers and projections and music and theater and dance and more. And so children, adults of all ages, get this deeper connection to the beauty and fragility of the natural world. If you would like to be a supporter of this, I encourage you to check in at this site online, Indiegogo, I-N-D-I-E, Indiegogo. And the search word is Quarry 2014. Andy, Faith Middleton, and Joy Wolke, welcome to the show.
Hi, Faith. I was diagnosed with Parkinson's about 15 years ago.
Okay.
And I was a musician. I went to school for music. But right after my diagnosis, I began writing prolifically. My neurologist called it hypergraphia. And I just wrote and wrote and wrote, and it helped me understand the condition. Help me, in giving my poems to my wife, she got a better understanding of what I was going through. Mm. And when I was involved in the creative spirit, in the creative process, whether it was writing music or writing poems or bouncing rocks around the yard, I came to really understand the temporary nature of things. And how everybody suffers in some way. And it just, and when I'm involved in the actual process of creating, my symptoms go away for that period of time. Because I guess there's a spike in the dopamine during the creative process. So it really helps me with many aspects of living with Parkinson's disease.
Andy, what a great testimony for this show. Thank you very, very much. Andy, what's your last name?
Weatherwax.
Okay, great. It's great to have you on the show, and I hope you keep writing.
Thank you, Andy. I've learned a lot from you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you bet.
Okay, take care. 203-776-9677. We're looking at this question of whether creative expression can heal the body and the mind. What does creative expression, whether you're trained or untrained, what does picking up a pencil, writing, painting, knitting, whatever it is that you do, baking suddenly, expressing your creativity do for you in the face of challenge? Has it ever happened that you have turned to something creative to get you through a challenging time? David, Faith Middleton with Joy Wolke.
Hi, Faith. Hi, Joy. How are you guys doing?
We're great, thanks.
Good, thanks.
So I have a roommate who I'm living with, and I've known her for the past 3 years. She's 32 years old, and right now she's at Smilo Cancer Center because she's been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. The outlook is severely grim. She's a very creative person in the sense that she does a lot of housework, improving the houses she lives in. She's very active outside. Because she's so young, the doctors are trying to treat her with some of the most aggressive medications that are out there, and she is beyond tired and beyond beaten up, not only from the cancer itself, but just from the medication and the chemo that they're using. She's lost a lot of her ability to do these projects and thus a lot of her creativity with it. I was wondering if Joy, when you were at your worst with starting chemo or 3 weeks into chemo when the side effects hit the hardest, what small things could you do to keep your drive?
Well, fortunately, we're in an age where I'm able to sort of live with the computer. So I was able to very slowly actually create a self-published book of some of the past projects that I've done. So that's been very helpful. Being in touch with other people has been helpful. She may have had this experience. People become a little bit hesitant. They don't want to bother you. They are worried that you're not feeling well. But the fact of the matter is that we all appreciate that attention. And with her focus on house renovation or keeping, I'm assuming keeping an orderly house and a beautiful house, it would be really a helpful thing if her friends might want to volunteer to come in and help do that housework for her. I know that I've found that. I've appreciated that from my own friends as well. So that if her friends become a little bit braver to become more a part of her life as it is now, and in a very positive fashion. And also she might like to, this may sound kind of corny, but she might like to really look at magazines like Architectural Digest.
That's what I was thinking.
Or other kinds of magazines that really show you some really wonderful interiors. I enjoy that myself.
Yeah, I do too.
And so it's not, and we're all, even at her age, are old enough to know that we're not going to be able to live in every desirable house and environment that we want to. So it's a nice way to sort of spark your imagination and
create in your mind.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, David.
We wish her all the best.
Yes, we do. I appreciate your calling the show.
Thank you.
Okay, our best to her.
Okay, goodbye.
All right, bye-bye. First, we would like to tell you that you can find what we talk about on the show anytime at WNPR.org. Just click on Programs to find the Faith Middleton Show. Joy Wilkie is staying with me, and we will take your calls at 203-776-WNPR about using creativity in the face of a great challenge. Stay with us. I'm Faith Middleton. You can tweet us at FaithWNPR, FaithWNPR, or join the conversation with us on Facebook. Search The Faith Middleton Show. Thanks to you for listening and to our talented team, senior producer Lori Mack and producer Jonathan McNichol. My guest is nationally recognized artist Joy Wilkie, who lives in Branford, Connecticut, and is an environmental artist. She's a public artist and has been on the show many times across the decades. And we this time sit down together to talk about using creativity in the face of a great challenge. Joy has certainly had one with a very serious cancer diagnosis and chemo. And she has just kept right on working and is doing it right now, in fact. Well, of course, right on the show, inspiring me once again. But she's working very hard at the moment on an environmental installation scheduled for the spring at the Stony Creek, Connecticut Granite Quarry, which is an astonishing landscape. And she and a whole team of collaborators will be there to do a light show and sound and their sculpture and movement. And it is really quite amazing to see in a new way and to be exposed to a space that is highlighted through this kind of original creativity, Joy. Just extraordinary. I have with me the book you self-published of the photographs of some of the past installations at this quarry. Amazing to see. I see why people have never seen anything like this. If you'd like to find out more about this and be a supporter, go online to Indiegogo. And the search word is Quarry 2014, and we'll be there. Steve, Faith Middleton, welcome to the show. I'm with Joy Wilkie. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, Faith. I just wanted to share something. I lost my sister to cancer a few years back, and for my way of healing, her and I were into gardening. So at the cemetery, they were kind enough. They had a large area. It's a by 9-foot circle. And what they let me do as a memorial is plant perennials there. So it was kind of like gaining life and showing life. And a lot of family members that stop here comment, oh, that was something that was in my, you know, sister's garden, or my mother had those flowers when, you know, she always enjoyed that type of thing. So it's kind of been a therapy, yet it's passing it on to others.
Ah, Steve, do you? I'm sorry this happened, this loss for you. And I'm so delighted to hear that you have found this thing to do. Do you continue to do it?
Oh yes, yes. And over the years, I've gotten, you know, different plants and all from, you know, my brother's yard, my other sister's yard, from my garden, from my sister's garden. So it's been a collaboration of that. And from just a small, you know, planting a few things to now it's blooming from March through November every year.
That's really fantastic. And also, everything that you've done with that garden is not only beautiful and real in terms of creating something that's alive and regenerating, but it also is the metaphor for life, really. I mean,
it's
you know, it's blooming, it's cycling. Life is a matter of cycles. And how you've described this is really lovely, and it's also fantastic that you're sharing it with your family.
Yeah.
And I think, anyway, congratulations.
You're doing
a wonderful thing, not only for yourself, but for others.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
You're doing your own public art piece, Steve.
Yes, absolutely.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
All righty.
Okay. Bye-bye. 203-776-WNPR. You know, this is that question of what is public art? We raised it earlier, and it certainly is art that is meant to be shared with everybody. I mean, you can make the case that any piece of art is that. So does it have to, you know, involve performance? You know, did Steve just do a public art piece?
He absolutely did, and I think that almost the simplest definition is what Steve talked about. It's a matter of giving. It's a matter of giving and also letting go. Letting go so that others who are sharing the experience of that piece can embrace it for themselves. And it's also the talent of the artist or the creator to be able to let it go for interpretation, personal interpretation by others.
What is it like for you as a public artist to hear and watch reactions?
It's always very, excuse the word, illuminating. And also that's what I enjoy and learn from. And often in public art situations, people will encounter the work who may never go to an art gallery or a museum. And in a lot of ways, their comments to me mean more than the intelligentsia, if you will, because they're much more sort of honest and from the heart.
I want to talk with you about what this next piece in the spring will be about. Each time that you've done an installation in this quarry, it has had a theme. And I wonder how you conceive of it, and does it keep changing in your mind? Becca Faith Middleton with Joy Wilkie, welcome to the show on creative expression and how we use it in challenging times. Go ahead.
Hi, Faith. It's Becca Atkins from Second Step Players.
Oh, hi, Becca.
Thanks for taking the call.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
Well, I'm so happy to be here. I personally, and what I do for work, is creativity as healing. So I was so excited to see you're doing this show today. I work with people who have psychiatric disorders, doing theater, music, and writing, and sometimes visual arts as well, to manage psychiatric symptoms. And we do self-healing, and we also do public education with whatever it is we create that we then share.
How do you find that this creative expression among clients helps them?
You know how I'm going to answer it? I'm going to answer how it helps me. I'm a person with bipolar 2 disorder, bipolar depression. And for me, when I first came here, I was very depressed. And wanting to be involved in a community that was making something was enough to help me get out of bed and mobilize myself, like walk through the fog to go do something. And I learned something really important, because I'd been told when you're depressed, if you're tired, rest. And what I learned was, for me, I needed to move, not rest, and move towards something that had great meaning to me.
The resistance when you're depressed is would seem to be huge. And so how do you mobilize the energy, the will, to get up and move one step at a time?
For me, it was something that had great meaning. It was something that mattered to me. And that's what it was. I enjoyed engaging in writing. I enjoyed singing. I enjoyed being with the people. And so the magnet of that community was enough to help me move. I mean, I was still depressed for a long time. It didn't 100% fix that. But it certainly helped, and it helped with anxiety because I got used to being around people. That was 20 years ago. I'm still here, and I watch it every day work on the people who come through ArtReach and Second Step Players.
Oh, great story, Becca. Thank you so much for calling the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Joy, this, as you know, relates to our show today. I'm going to tell you all about a book. It's a future guest on our show. If you have written in a journal, maybe you've set goals, you have noted your ideas, maybe mourned a broken heart with a friend. If you've done a writing, as Becca just mentioned, that feeling of relief that expressing emotions can bring is profound. And so we have a book that documents evidence that personal self-disclosure is not only good for our emotional health, but boosts our physical health as well. And that's the question we're looking at on the show today. I'm talking about a book by psychologist James Pennebaker. He's done controlled clinical research that sheds new light on the powerful mind-body connection, and it interweaves his findings in insightful case studies on confession, on keeping secrets, the hidden price of silence. And so this is how writing as a tool for anyone can be a source of information about the self, encouragement for the self. The book is called Opening Up, The Healing Power of Expressing Emotions by James Pennebaker, and he's going to be on the show in the near future. Joy, before we go to the phones again, this time in the spring when you do the next quarry installation, it will be different from all the others. How do you paint in your imagination what that is?
It has to do with current environmental concerns. And those don't necessarily change at lightning speed, but there are new revelations every year that come along. Of course, now we're dealing with rising sea levels, and which is a result of climate change. And I've been fortunate to be able to travel to Iceland and also to Patagonia to sort of be there with the glaciers as they're calving. And so it's very visible and it's very relevant. We don't necessarily see it every day in our lives. But living in Stony Creek, we can certainly see the rising tides and how people's basements get flooded. All these things seem to be mundane right now, but they're also currently changing property values and so on. So this is a long way to say this year will be about geology, but it will also be about rising sea levels and the result of that over time.
No, I like that you're doing that. I'm trying to figure out how that translates into this giant landscape of pink granite, craggy walls. They're just enormous when you're standing on the floor of this canyon where your piece is going to be. How does that rising sea level issue translate? How do you bring attention to that in that space?
It can be done with imagery, video, and also the magic of Jamie Burnett's use of light. We can actually make you feel as you're sitting there in the quarry that the water is actually coming in and over your head. And it's such an amazing sort of perceptual feeling that you sort of get it. I mean, you know that it's not really happening, but your emotions respond to these sort of hyper-real events.
So you're making notes like crazy as you're going about the world. I see. Jenny, Faith Middleton with Connecticut artist Joy Wolke. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Faith, and it's a pleasure to hear you, Joy. I want to tell you
briefly
about a friend of ours who lost his wife and was truly in deep despair and a depression that was unlike his personality and very understandable, but we didn't see any way that he was going to come out of it. But most amazingly, he turned to photography. And after playing with his camera in some kind of interesting ways, he discovered Photoshop and began playing on the computer with the pictures. And at first, they were kind of dark, and the subjects were muted and toned down, and the colors were almost made absent. Then he got into folk dancing and folk presentations, and it was amazing. It went from being dark and somewhat depressing to being so filled with life and vibrancy, and as it happened, we watched him come out of his depression. So as you talk about creativity and the effect it has on people, I can only say that our friend was truly living proof of this.
Well, Ginny, thank you so much for that story.
It's really a wonderful story, and it also has to do with what we talked about earlier in terms of getting outside of yourself in a way. I mean, he was using his body to dance and express pleasure and joy with other people.
And also to photograph others doing the same thing. I mean, there was a very interesting document as you see the colors in his work change and become more vibrant. It was like a temperature gauge on what was happening clearly inside this man's body. Thank you again. Joy, when I asked you just now about how you would show rising sea levels, and you talked about Jamie Burnett's playing with light on the walls, the sense of his, you getting the feeling that the water in this granite canyon is rising when you sit there. Now, when you're going about your world right now and you're thinking about how often is it changing? How often does one idea lead to the next for you?
Well, it can go from one idea to 100 others in one day, or it can be one idea that I sort of put my teeth into and I want to know more details about, because every single idea holds a world of discovery.
And do you let it cook?
I do let it cook. I do let it cook, but I don't let it overcook.
And you don't let it disappear. So did you find you have to make notes? You know, I mean, what happens to me is I'll think of something, I'll think, oh, I'm going to absolutely do that. And then I forget the details of what that was going to be. And then I'm frustrated. And then 4 days later, it comes floating back into my mind. Do you find that happens?
That can happen. And that can necessarily not be a bad thing, because we sort of make ourselves up and our memories are of our own making. So sometimes you'll find if you forget to take notes and you remember it 2 days later, it might even be better.
Oh, thank you, Joy Wolke, for being on the show. Connecticut artist, and if you would like to support Joy Wolke and the team of collaborators that are going to do this environmental installation at the Stony Creek Granite Quarry this spring, go online to Indiegogo. Search word there is Quarry 2014. As always, this show is about the richness of life. Find the books, people, recipes, wine, and cocktails we feature online anytime at WNPR.org. Click on Programs. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.